Welcome to the Real Talk of Dental, where we pull back the bib and talk about what's really going on beneath the surface. Not just the charts, not just the systems. We're talking about the culture, the chaos, and the confessions. I'm Brandi Marzolino, and with 20 years deep in this industry, I am fresh out of patience for performative leadership. This is your space to laugh, cry, question everything, and maybe shout into a pillow between patients. We've got anonymous confessions, we've got call-ins, we've got ops room drama, and we've got the truth, served hot and a little too real. Think of this as your backstage pass to the break room no one dares to mic. Until now. Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about something that's changing the game for women in dental leadership. It's called the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. It's a six-month transformational journey for women who are done with burnout, overfunctioning, and trying to lead like someone they're not. This isn't just another leadership training. It's a coming home to your voice, your power, and your joy. If you've ever felt alone at the top or stuck somewhere in the middle, this one's for you. Enrollment is now open. Head to leadhership-experience.com to enroll. Because real leadership isn't about performing. It's about remembering who you are. Now, let's get into today's episode. Nicole Todues is a dental marketing pro, not just in helping practices and DSOs acquire new patients, but also a branding expert and really crafting with statistics and facts and all kinds of metrics how to bring your brand and style and products to life. She's been in marketing and brand development for almost all of her career, and she comes to us with a world of wisdom and knowledge. What I love about Nicole is that she is now on a whole new path in both her personal and professional life after what she calls an awakening the last couple years. And it's something that her and I resonate over deeply together. And she's also a huge advocate and affiliate for the Empowered Leadership Experience for Women in Dental. And she too is on a quest to help women rise up and reclaim what they really want and desire in their lives and cutting through the noise. Her story is really beautiful, and she leads so much with her heart, and she's such an authentic person, an open book, and she just has so much to share if given the platform to do it. So I'm grateful that we were able to do that today. In today's conversation, she talks about her experience in the marketing space as a vendor and also her personal journey over the last couple years and what brought her to this new version of herself. And what I think is really cool is she built a very successful marketing firm and then completely dismantled it and built it back up to align with this new version of herself and her new values, which I just have so much admiration for. And I've been hearing this more and more in the business world where people build these monstrous companies, even outside of dentistry in general, just in general entrepreneurship, where so many people realize they get to where they thought they wanted to be for success and happiness and realize, hey, this is not what I signed up for. And they think smaller, more alignment, with greater impact is much better. That's something I've been feeling myself ever since I launched my business, is small and mighty and making the best impact. And I'm so grateful to have other people like Nicole on this journey along with me. So let's dive in into what I think is a pretty badass and open-hearted conversation. Enjoy. Nicole, I'm so happy that you're with me today. You are one of my new favorite people as we've gotten to know each other over the last year, and particularly in the last several months. You are just such an extraordinary person, huge advocate for women in dental living their best lives, which we've bonded so much over. And you are a testament to the work that we both do on personal development and just really doing a lot of spiritual development and working on ourselves. So I'm really excited for this conversation. Let's dive in.
Let's do it. I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your journey as an entrepreneur, especially these last few years, because I know you grew a company, you had extraordinary success. And one of the things I really love about where you are right now is you're in this reinvention period, which, you know, from over here, it takes an incredible amount of courage and strength and self-awareness and the whole shebang. And not a lot of people have the courage to do that. They get on a path and they stay in it and they get very comfortable. And even though things get tough for themselves internally, they get comfortable. And you decided to take a different route, which I'm so impressed by, and I really admire you for all of that. So do you want to share a little bit about your journey as an entrepreneur these last several years?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, long road. Where do I start, right? It's only been 4.5 years, but man, it's been a lifetime. You know, I want to start by saying I don't think other than like what motherhood has brought to my life, there has been anything that has been so evolutionary for me than entrepreneurship in terms of what it has forced me to learn about myself, to develop within myself. And it really has been, you know, there's been so many facets to my sort of transformation, personal transformation and spiritual transformation over the course of the last year. But my business has been a huge component of that. And, you know, that's a lot of the work I'm doing now is realizing and helping other people realize that business is not separate from who you are as a person. And in order to truly lead and build an organization with a solid mission and vision, you have to have that and embody that within yourself. And so that's sort of the work that I've been doing to truly understand who I am, where I want to go, and then, you know, filtrate that down to my team and my clients and the industry. But as far as my journey specifically, if you had told me, you know, 10 years ago, I would been a business owner, I would have like laughed in your face. That was so far removed from my reality and my identity as a person. I had no clue where my life was going to take me, which isn't that what's so cool about life, right? Total quantum leap, really. And I'd been in big brand advertising when I started my career for a few years, working on, you know, national Fortune 500 brands, and learned a lot about advertising very quickly at a very young age in the, you know, gritty ad agency space, and then ended up in dentistry by happenstance, like most of us. And, you know, once you get into dentistry, it just sort of consumes you and you don't leave. And so at least that's the experience I feel like for most of the people that I collaborate with. But mm-hmm. Got into dentistry as a director of marketing of a DSO. That's really where I sort of learned dentistry, honed my skills, and ended up kind of transitioning out of dentistry for a little bit in 2000, and I guess it was 17. I had my third baby, and on my maternity leave, I was sort of doing some soul searching about like, what is my calling? Like, I know that I have a skill set. Do I even want to have a professional career right now? Do I want to focus on my kids? Like, what is it I want to do? And it was almost just by asking myself those questions, the entrepreneurial call, as, you know, we sort of term it, kind of rang in me. And I started just in the corner of my kid's playroom at a desk, like connecting with people again in dentistry, and started putting myself out there and talking to people again. And before I knew it, I was consulting for clients, and within a year had built my portfolio up to about 11 locations. And over time, it grew and evolved and transformed until it became sort of this living, breathing thing that I was like, you know, almost looking back going, oh my gosh, I unintentionally built something, you know, mm-hmm. I created something. And, you know, so I think, you know, with entrepreneurship, I really think it starts by asking questions and getting in touch with yourself and doing the soul searching to figure out who you are and where you want to go. And it's not, you know, it's not been an easy road for sure. I was very blessed and lucky that the agency really took off very quickly because of my connections in the dental space. And so within the first 2 years, we had essentially doubled in size, which is like unheard of. And it, you know, to be honest, I got lost in that a little bit. I'd never been a business owner before. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I learned a lot of lessons. There was a lot of failing forward at that time in my life. And I'm still paying for a lot of those mistakes that I made in the first 2 years, even now today. But, you know, that's how we learn and grow. And so I think the journey's been interesting because when I embarked on it, I think that I assumed it was going to be a linear trajectory. And that's not how business works and entrepreneurship works. It's this constant fall on your face, get back up again, reinvent, fall on your face, get back up again, reinvent. And that sort of need for resilience is one of, I think, the things that has transformed me the most in terms of what my business has brought me personally. And I didn't know how, not just resilient, but I guess I didn't know how much fight I had in me until I built this business. I just really didn't. I mean, I've always been a fighter my whole life. I've been a fighter. Mm-hmm. I've had no choice but to be that. But I think there was still a lot of deep-seated like fear that lived in me about my limiting beliefs and what I'm capable of and what I'm here to do in the world. And my Transcendental has really taught me that I have a lot of fire. I have a lot of fire. And, you know, there's two pieces of business advice that I've received that I consider the best pieces of business advice. And I will share them with anyone that asks. The first is, there's only one thing successful entrepreneurs have in common compared to unsuccessful entrepreneurs. And that's that they never, and that is the message I play in my head, because, you know, I'm going to, full transparency, there have been days where I'm like, do I want to keep doing this? Recently, like in the last year when I was going through my journey. And ultimately, my heart won't let me quit. It's like a calling. Yes. I'm supposed to be building this. I'm supposed to be doing this. It's part of my journey. And the second piece of advice, my brother-in-law is a very successful businessman, and he's just somebody in my life that mentors me and takes really good care of me. And I visited him recently, and I was had some concerns, you know, that I was sharing with him, and I was sort of at a fork in the road, and I wanted his guidance. He's, you know, super successful in his career. And he said to me, Nicole, we don't assign permanent solutions to temporary problems.
I love that.
And that phrase has completely shifted the way I look at my business and approach every problem and solution within my business. It has completely changed me as a leader. Like, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten.
I love that. Yeah. And gosh, you said so much there. So rich. And I mean, well, that's why I love you, because you always go so deep.
I'm never one at a loss for words.
No, but you always never go, you just lead so much with your heart, and you're deep. You're a real talker. And that's why I always love talking with you. But yeah, I mean, I always say too, you know, being an entrepreneur is the biggest and hardest personal development course you never knew you signed up for, because you're confronted with yourself over and over again, and not in this, like, I don't know, it's not the traditional stuff. There's so many things. There's so many layers. Like you're saying, there's so many things you didn't even know about yourself yet.
Yeah.
Until you get started. And it was interesting, because when I went out officially on my own, I had a mentor. And for the first like 6 months, we spoke weekly. And for the first 6 months, every time we'd get on the call, she would go, so how is your boss treating you? And I used to get really annoyed with the question, but she was saying it in all honesty, being like, you know, a lot of times we go out on our own because we want to be our own boss. We want to have the autonomy. We want to be able to have that creativity. And like you said, follow the calling. And oftentimes we don't like, you know, conventional systems or people overseeing our work or, you know, telling us what to do or whatever. There's a variety of reasons. But then at the end of the day, it's like, oh, how am I treating myself? Would I want to work for me? You know, and like the inner dialogue and the demands that I put on myself and the expectations, you know, the unreasonable expectations. And that was really helpful for me in the beginning to really start to create what I wanted for myself and my business too, because, you know, you and I work with business owners all the time in different capacities, obviously, but a lot of times we don't realize that we hold the key to the cage that we built. And a lot of us feel held hostage by the business that we created. I see that very often. And I'm like, well, there's only one.
Sometimes I'm looking around like, who's in charge? Oh, wait.
Okay. Yeah. Who built this? I hate this, you know? Who can I talk to? Oh, me. Yeah. And so it's like, it's just this fascinating thing. Our minds are so, so wild. And then I really like what you were saying too, but like, you gave me goosebumps when you were saying like, follow the calling and not quitting and the perseverance. I think that's something that's super strong. And that, and honestly, like, same as you, my mantra every day is keep showing up. It's really that simple, because there's days, and I said this recently too on a coaching collective that I'm part of. Recently, we were on a Zoom call and I was sharing openly, and I said, yeah, there's days that I'm like, am I insane? Like, am I insane? Yeah. You know, and every single person raised their hand. They're like, well, if you're insane. We all need to be in the insane asylum because we're all feeling that way, right? And I think that's part of...
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be a little bit crazy to do this. Exactly. Like, it's just a little bit of, like, a nut job.
Who would do this to themselves intentionally? Yeah, and so then it's like, okay, I got to keep showing up. You know, the days that I'm just like, I don't know about today. It's like, just get to show up, Brandy, to show up just one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. And I think, too, it's important to balance that and ground that with not burning out.
Yes.
Because the first 2 years for me, it was about growth and big goals and growing the fastest and being the best and blah, 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 blah. And that's just not me. And I burnt out really, really quick.
Yeah.
And so did the team. And now I'm able to see that when I invest in myself first, personally, spiritually, spend time as a mother with my kids, then I show up to the call. I answer the call a lot better when I'm grounded and solid and I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm taken care of, like, first. Because I always put everything before myself, you know, in the last chapter of my life, every single thing. I came last in every single way. And that's not the case anymore. And I'm seeing the shift that is happening, having in my business and my ability to lead.
Yes, to all of that. And I want to hear you talk more about that. And with that, I do think entrepreneurship is one of the biggest expressions of creativity. It's in order to tap into that creativity, because my belief is that creativity is a divine expression, right? And in order to be in that state, you need to tap into other forms of energy and more of that, like, divine consciousness or greater consciousness.
Girl, you speak in my language right now.
So I know that's why it resonates so much. Yeah. And so it's like, in order to, you need that space. Because if you're grinding all the time, you're never going to have that space to be able to connect. And so that is your recharge, like, to continue to create and to continue to be present. And I think if people don't see it that way, they don't get it. That's the biggest gift. Like, you actually have to have it in order to be successful in business, right? Versus the grind. But with that, I want to talk about, that your reinvention over the last year or two, like, with you recognizing, I need this. And now you're saying you're leading better, your team's experiencing things better. Like, can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I have been through, and I know a lot of people going through this. I mean, this is one of the first things you and I bonded over. There's a lot of people going through what I would call an awakening right now. You see it a large scale in the world, and then you see it in the lives of the people around you and maybe within your own life. You know, I know people that are where they're at, and then I know people that are going through this. And I personally was always a religious person, a woman of faith. I am a, you know, devout Catholic, but I was never a spiritual person. And last year, really over the course of the last 3 to 4 years, my world has crumbled. I mean, talk about an ego death. Like, I have had to deconstruct myself in every way that you can imagine for year over year now, several years. And it's been hard, hard work, but the most rewarding thing that I've ever done in my life. I feel like I finally know who I am, why I'm here, where I'm going, who I want to be, and who I want with me. And it's such a beautiful thing to reach that place, because once you align internally with yourself and with God and the divine, and you embody that sort of unconditional love for yourself that God has for you, you start to see that manifest in your reality, in your world. And, you know, the business is one of those places that I'm really seeing the ripple effects of the work I've done, whether it be in how I show up in my client relationships, how my creativity, like you mentioned, being able to tap into that creative genius. I'm a highly creative person. I'm a visionary. I'm an Aquarius. So I'm very, very creative. And, you know, I do feel like I stalled on that for a while during the burnout phase. You know, I had lost my why and my fire, and now I have all that back, and I've got my vision back, and I can articulate it clearly to my team. And they're like, yes, we want to be on that, you know, same with the clients. And it's a beautiful thing to witness, you know, and I see it in my motherhood too. My kids, like, they're gravitating and opening to me in a way that they haven't before. It's just this really beautiful thing, because my heart is just wide open. I'm full of just this unconditional love for everyone. And everybody's seeing that. My friends, you know, will mention to me, God, you just You're so different. It's beautiful. It's amazing, right? And my family and the team and the clients and everybody. And it's just such a cool experience to go through that. I'm so grateful because the rock bottom, right? When you hit rock bottom, some of us call it the dark night of the soul. When you go through the dark night of the soul and you go through the ego death, it's like anything that's not true and in alignment with who you really are gets stripped away. And that can be a very, 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 very scary thing. Yeah. And you have to also be willing to live so authentically and genuinely yourself, like I'm doing right now, sharing all this like really personal, raw stuff, you know, online, that you don't care because you love yourself so unconditionally. You don't care the reaction. There will be people that will watch this and think, well, you know, she's having a midlife crisis or she's, you know, lost it or whatever. And then there will be people that go, that I'm going through that, or I want to go through that. You know, I want that. And so there is somebody out there who like needs to hear these messages. Right. And that's, you know, the podcast I'm going to start, really, that's going to be the premise of the short stories we share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I mean, they always say, right, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And I think speaking like what you're saying really speaks to that, in that we're letting our essence come through. And those of us that allow that to happen, you know, that's what from other people, like our spirits connect, right? Because we understand that this is something that's beyond us in a lot of ways. And those of us that are attached more to like the human experience and like you're saying, the ego stuff, they're not going to resonate as much. And neither one is better than the other. It's just what we're being asked to do or called to do in this moment, right?
So, yeah, and the journey looks different for everybody, right? Timeline wise, you know, because I believe there are catalysts that happen in your life. Yeah. And because I was so detached and living from lack in my life and trauma and things like that, I wasn't getting it. Like it was, what's Justin Bieber say? It's not clocking with you.
Oh, yeah. Right. I know. It's not clocking with you. Yeah.
And so he was like, I'm taking everything away because the only place you need to be looking right now is at me and yourself. Because I was looking at everywhere else. External validation for everything. External, like give with no reciprocity. I didn't understand reciprocity. It was like pouring from myself into everything in my life till I was empty. And then wondering why I felt so fulfilled by what you're doing if it's only taking from you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, like even going back to that, like recreating yourself and the ego death that you mentioned and things, it can be very disorienting. And it's something that, you know, because I've been, you know, coaching for a long time and working on myself for even longer. But and I too had similar experiences in that way. But it's like people, I've noticed that so many people are so afraid of entering into the cave. You know, they talk about the hero's journey or the heroine's journey. And it's like, you got to go into the cave, but you come out the other side. And I think for some people, they get very scared about going into the cave because they're afraid to come out. And they'd rather stay stuck in what they're really familiar with, because at least they know, even if it brings them sorrow or misery, or there's a knowing that they're not accessing something they want to access. But I think with that, it's helpful to have guides. It's helpful to have mentors, coaches, you know, people along with you as you go through the cave, as a, you know, Joseph Campbell talks about in The Hero's Journey, because you don't want to do it alone. You want to do it in the sense of community. And I think that's why even with you and I chatting, it was like so exciting,
right?
Because it's like, oh, another person that gets this, you know?
Like we clicked immediately. And that's divine timing, because if we had connected like that before, maybe wouldn't have been as aligned.
Yeah. We wouldn't have connected on similar ground. Yeah. And so I just always encourage people, and I know you do too now, having gone through it, like the light on the other side is so powerful, and it's beyond what you can even comprehend in that moment, right? You just have to trust, which is scary. And weight that comes off once you're on the other side to be unapologetically you is, I just want everyone to have that. And I know you want that for people too, you know, especially women. Yeah. And something you and I bond over as well is just, you know, what women endure, not only as entrepreneurs, but women in the dental industry. Mm-hmm. And do you want to chat at all about, you know, what you see you perceive for women, particularly on the entrepreneurial journey or just being in spaces that women typically.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm definitely not like a feminist, you know, that's not me, but I do have, I guess, an interesting perspective now that I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm a female entrepreneur, it's like a couple things. One, we just as women carry a mental load that men do not. And sorry, I'm like not trying to offend men or discount your role in life. You are providers, protectors, leaders. We need you, but all the details live here.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot to, you know, we're naturally overthinkers. I think most women are by nature because we are the one sort of processing all the load. So juggling it all, you know, whether you're a mom or not, definitely motherhood really complicates entrepreneurship. But, you know, I think it's just it's a lot of a balancing act to be a woman entrepreneur. And again, being grounded enough to be able to see how to distribute that weight in your life so that you're not sacrificing the self to make it happen, I think is a struggle of mine for sure, or was before I did this work. And then second to that would be more often than I thought would happen. It's definitely a more frequent issue than I realized existed prior to being a business owner. Men don't believe a lot of what I say. Mm-hmm. But if a man were to say it exactly the way I said it, they'll bite it hook, line, and sinker. I have to work harder to earn the trust of male counterparts in business.
Yes. And I literally had this exact conversation with someone yesterday where she was feeling something very similarly. And there was also some feedback that she had gotten that, you know, she was on a Zoom with some of her colleagues and they said that she seemed flat and wanted to know if she was, you know, and then they called the other male colleagues, you know, wondering if she was like okay or how she was feeling because she wasn't peppy enough on the call. And she took the feedback and then her boss called her and said, can I give you some feedback? You know, essentially you weren't peppy enough on the call. And she's like, what? And so it was this really
something that would never be said to
right
ever.
I know. And these are the things, this is like the behind closed doors feedback though that we get a lot as well. Yeah. And throughout my
it's amazing.
I've gotten multiple times that I don't smile enough or I need to smile more. And I'm a very lighthearted person. Like I have a lot of fun. I'm super goofy. I mean, comedy is like a staple in my life. My husband and I watch comedy every night. And same. I love to laugh. Yeah. And I'm actually personally I think I'm actually pretty hilarious. But I also talk about serious stuff. And so when I'm talking about serious stuff or I'm like contemplating serious things, like I'm gonna not be smiling about it. And like, this is the stuff that we think about is like, how's my face right now, right? I don't think a man's walking around or being on Zoom calls concerned about their face and whether it's giving off that they're not a jerk or, you know, the B word or whatever. They're not worried about that because then they'd be taken seriously. Or nowadays, you know, if they're a little bit awkward on the call, they might say, oh, they, you know, they're on the spectrum or something like that, right? It's like they're given this grace for being awkward or a little weird or not being friendly or
something. Must be a genius.
I must be a genius. He's some kind of savant.
Must have a high IQ. If we were acting like that, they'd be like, she needs some Xanax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or I have trouble staring at her face for too long. So yeah, it's like, it just, you know, that's the kind of stuff, right? And it's just those little micro cuts. It's like death by a thousand paper cuts that happens all the time. And you just start to worry about that. Because one of the things she came to me with is like, well, how am I supposed to be on this next Zoom call? And I'm like, this is so sad, man. Oh. Like now you have to worry about how you're presenting versus like focusing on your work. Right. And excelling. So So that definitely speaks to me for sure.
You just reminded me of a story, actually.
Yeah.
And it's funny how we excuse this behavior and bury it. And then like you asked me this question and now all of a sudden I'm like, okay, wait, I have 100 examples of times.
Like I'm a feminist, damn it. Wait a minute. No, I'm just kidding.
The first, I was working for a very large ad agency on a very large account as an assistant account executive. My first job out of college, I was 22 in Dallas. And there was this big, I mean, this was a large agency, very large company, hundreds of employees. And there was this big like social hour event, you know, ad agencies like to party. We like to
I've seen Mad Men.
And there was some sort of social event and I was nervous. You know, there's all these just career long professionals here and okay, I need to mingle and meet people and start kind of making a name for myself. And this guy came up to me. He was probably in his 40s and said to me, hey, I let your boss know. I told him, hey, great job on that new hire, talking about my physical appearance to my boss. And that was my first introduction into the male workforce.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that he thought that was okay to say that.
And then some guy didn't like it and said to him, dude, you could be her dad. Mm. And I was like, you know, at least like there's those guys and then there's the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
There's both. For sure. So. Okay, we're going to pivot a bit here.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about this all day, but, you know, being somebody that supports, you know, dentists and dental companies, and I mean, I know you do a lot of work in the marketing space, but one thing that you and I have chatted about too offline is how dentists or executives in dental treat vendors, you know, being a vendor that has been around for a bit and that they're not treated with the same level of respect sometimes as other folks in the industry. And it sounds like you got something to say about it. So
what are you? Yeah, yeah. It's not as much of an issue for me anymore because I'm all about alignment now. Everything in my life is alignment. So if a client's not in alignment, bye-bye client.
Right. Yes.
Work with just anybody. In fact, when you think we're having a sales call, I'm actually interviewing you to see if you're in alignment.
Yes. Preach.
So what I've noticed in dentistry is I think because it's a clinical industry, not everybody in the industry has a whole lot of business experience, background, acumen. There's not a lot of understanding of how business relationships work and how to conduct yourselves. And I was just very surprised once I launched Transcendental, the way our clients would speak to the team or to me, not all the clients, right? A good portion, cuss you out, talk down to you, call your work shit, like crazy stuff. And it's just like we had this large DSO we were working with, totally not in alignment with our values. Talked down to me and the team constantly, questioned everything, total micromanaging. And ultimately they ended up saying, I don't think this is a fit. And I was like, I agree, let's part ways. But a lot of what they would do is like, we don't use AI at all for our writing or work or anything. And it was like, every time my copywriters put something out, they were like, AI wrote this. And I'm like, just give feedback, don't attack, you know? And so I think the biggest lesson I would want to share with, if you're on the client side, whether that be private or, you know, group dentistry, respect your vendors, man. Yes, you're paying them, but that doesn't mean servitude. Mm-hmm. They're not lesser than you because they invoice you. And I think it speaks to a larger problem just in society. We are so detached, disconnected, stuck to our cell phones, talking to a screen. Nobody's in person. It dehumanizes people. And so you're starting to see this show up in business. It's like people, it's like you're not behind a keyboard, man. You can't talk to me like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're not in an anonymous chat. What you're putting out in the world is being attached to who you are. You know, speak kindly, show grace to people. It's like, you can not like something and give feedback, or you can be disappointed in a relationship or say it's not a fit. It's perfectly fine to provide constructive criticism, but to dehumanize people and put them down and disrespect them so unprofessionally. And I love my clients, don't get me wrong. I love my clients. I love what I do. But I think in general, people just need to show up in these business relationships, especially in dentistry, with just a little bit more compassion.
Yeah.
My opinion.
I've noticed too that I really like what you said, when someone feels like they're paying you, that somehow that gives them free rein or free access to treat you however they want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I see that happening in the VA space. Like, I've spoken with several VAs and they've shared, you know, the sort of the attitude or the abuse that happens, because that's even another level of attachment, detail.
Right.
And also the level of pay. Right. So that breaks my heart a lot of the times. And then even with like ChatGPT, like I'm nice at GPT. I'm not over the top, but there's even people talk about how people interact with, you know, AI and stuff like that. And some people are just like really awful in the energy that they're putting towards this. And yeah, it's not a human. It doesn't have feelings. But I like what you touched on too. It's like this energetic exchange. It's like, what kind of energy are you putting out into the world, right? And yeah, that's what I'm always like conscious of is the energy that I hold and the energy I'm contributing to the greater whole. And just even talking to a robot, like I don't want to be, because that's not how I want to be. And that's not the energy that I want to have emit, right, from me. But really recognizing that there is a human on the other side that's doing the best they can, or, you know, working hard. Or let's say you do get, you know, somebody that isn't providing the value that you were expecting, but handling it in, like you're saying, a very courteous and professional way, because that's a reflection of you as a person, right? And that's the energy that you're contributing in the broader scope. Mm-hmm. So, and I love that you're at a time in your life now where you can end things when there is an alignment, or filter them out long, long ahead of time, you know, far ahead.
I was such a people pleaser before, the things that I accepted, and then you absorb it.
Yeah.
And becomes your inner voice.
Yes.
Yeah. So because that's the whole point, you know, I'm not going to kill myself doing this for people that don't appreciate it.
Yeah. And I think that's a great, you know, way to circle back to with the journey of entrepreneurship, because for anyone out there that's, you know, in that state, you might hate entrepreneurship so much more if you don't have the right clients, right? Or if you're
absolutely
working with people that you don't resonate with. And then by designing your business in the way that you like and the types of clientele you're working with, that allows you to enjoy the journey and really have a lot of fun in entrepreneurship, which is why you probably got into it in the first place. So for anyone that's, you know, in that space where it's like, man, this really sucks and I hate this, you know, I would first take, well, one, you got to always look at yourself and the journey that you're on. Two, look at whether you're attracting clients that aren't good fits.
Totally agree.
Well, you're incredible. You know, I'm one of your biggest fans. And it's so awesome talking with you today. I feel like we could talk forever about so many of these things because it's so deep. But if there's one thing you want to leave anyone with today, whether it's about entrepreneurship, about the spiritual journey, about your experience over the last few years, what would you share?
I'd say to anybody who sees this and it resonates with them in some way, for whatever reason, on any point, if you are curious about the journey I've been on, whether that be from the entrepreneurial business side of things or the spiritual healing side of things, I'm an open book. I would love to help anybody that needs a little guidance or wants to better understand how they can embark on either of these things. I'm here to be of assistance.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
I wanted to do one thing. So my best friend bought me these cards. They're called For a Badass.
Oh, I love it.
And every time I meet with the ladies on my team, they get to pull a card. And that's like our theme for the day. So, Brandy, I'm going to pull your card today.
Woohoo! Love it.
When life knocks you down, get back up and say you hit like a, you're going to have to bleep this, ready? Bitch. I love it. And then mine is for the day, I am my own damn role model.
Ooh. Love it, love it, love it. That's super fun. Yeah, thank you so much for doing that. That's incredible.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're the best, Nicole. And
you're the best too. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. You just listened to The Real Talk of Dental. If it hit, if it stung, if it made you feel just a little more human, good. That's the point. This isn't about fixing practices. It's about healing people. And if you're brave enough to show up real in this industry, you're my kind of leader. Subscribe, call in, send your wildest workplace confession. And most importantly, don't clean up for anyone. The mess, that's where the magic lives. We'll see you again on the next episode.